Today will feel a little different for us because we're going to do something that is not our norm. We're going to be a little bit all over the place in the Bible this morning. So if you want to, I'm going to tell you now, if you want to try to follow along, you got to turn fast. But better yet, you could just leave it open to Psalm 100 because where we start, we will finish. And we're going to just take notes and write fast this morning. It's no secret, the last Sunday of the year has always been one of my favorite Sundays to gather as a church. It usually falls during that weird in-between time, right? When some of the radio stations have already started playing music that's not Christmas music again, you're already, here we are the day after Christmas, and you're already thinking, oh, I've got to take down that tree and move all these decorations. But New Year's is coming. And you kind of feel like, oh, I ate so much stuff this past weekend, and New Year's is coming. I don't want to, but I know I'm going to do it again. It seems like such an ordinary day, the last Sunday of the year. If we're honest, the ones we really make a big deal of are Christmas, right? We call it the Christmas and Easter, the CEOs, right? But I love the last Sunday of the year because it's such a fitting time for us to pause and to remember, to reflect on the faithfulness of God to his people through the past year. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. It's no secret that through our scripture readings, through the songs that we've been singing, this service this morning is geared to bring to mind the faithfulness of God. I want us to be able to just kind of stop for a moment here at the end of the year after all the hustle and bustle of Christmas and gearing up for whatever gatherings you have this coming week and be able to pause and reflect on the faithfulness of our God. A.W. Pink writes in his book, The Knowledge of, or The Attributes of God, he wrote concerning the faithfulness of God that this is the basis of our confidence in him. The basis of the Christian confidence in God is that he is faithful. And I think Pink hits the nail on the head there. We can be confident in our faith because God is faithful. If you'll look now at Psalm 100, this text is familiar, right? Some folks have called this the old 100. This is one of my personal favorite psalms, and it begins with a series of commands. Through the first four verses, it's command after command after command, and it doesn't give you the reason for those commands until the very end of the psalm in verse 5. But it says here, the word of the Lord, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. A pretty all-expansive command there. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And the big question is still looming after those first four verses. Why? Enter verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Because of the goodness of God, because of his steadfast, unending love, and because of his enduring faithfulness, we follow those commands in verses 1 through 4. But if we can be honest with one another, sometimes, just as the hymn says, we're prone to wander, we're also prone to forget. We're prone to short memories. We remember our pains all too quickly, and we remember God's faithfulness not very long. And so this morning, my goal is the same that Peter has in 2 Peter 1:13. He says he thinks it fitting, as long as he's in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. This morning, my goal is to stir you up by way of reminder that our God is faithful. Because we can go through some pretty difficult circumstances that cause us to forget. Pink is insightful on this. He says here, I'm going to read to you a section from his book. He says, there are seasons in the lives of all when it's not easy. No, not even for Christians to believe that God is faithful. Our faith is sorely tried. Our eyes be dimmed with tears, and we can no longer trace the outworkings of his love. Our ears are distracted with the noise of the world, harassed by the atheistic whisperings of Satan, and we can no longer hear the sweet accents of his still, small voice. Cherished plans have been thwarted. Friends on whom we have relied have failed us. A professed brother or sister in Christ has betrayed us. We're staggered. We sought to be faithful to God, and now a dark cloud hides him from us. We find it difficult, yea, impossible for carnal reason to harmonize his frowning providence with his gracious promises. Ah, faltering soul, severely tried fellow pilgrim, seek grace to heed Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walks in the darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look into God's word and we're going to examine the faithfulness of our great God. This morning, brothers and sisters, is a reminder. It's a reminder that our God has always been faithful and he will continue to be just that, faithful. So, I told you we're going to be bouncing around all over the place this morning. We started in Psalm 100. That God's faithfulness endures to all generations. So let's talk about the faithfulness of God. Our God is faithful to his promises. Our God is faithful to his promises. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says this, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? This passage is such a great reminder for you and I that our God is not just like you and me. He's not going to be falling prey to the same things that we do. We can trust our God because he is consistent. He is faithful. The reason we struggle to trust man is because they've let us down. They've lied to us. They've led us astray. They've said one thing and done another. But this is not the case with our God. He has spoken. He will do it. When God says something, he holds himself to it. And maybe we need some examples of that. Right, it's one thing to hear of the faithfulness of God, but it's another thing to see it. Well, what about when God promised to deal with the serpent? God promised to deal with the serpent. We go all the way back to Genesis. The serpent tempts Eve and leads them astray. And after God pronounces the curses on Adam and Eve, he turns to the serpent and he says in verse 15 of chapter 3 in Genesis, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And he did it. God made a promise in Genesis 3:15, and we learn that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the bruise on the heel, it was a blow to the head of Satan. He did it. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. What about this one? Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Paul writes there, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Jesus is the serpent slayer. Jesus is the one who came, and the promise that God made to Satan, this is a promise to Satan, you're going to pay. And Jesus has defeated Satan at the cross, but we come and see the final and full defeat when he comes the second time. God is faithful to his promises. I love this. Maybe you need another one. God told Abraham about the future enslavement of his family that would come after him. He said, I'm going to give you all this land, but first these people are going to go and become slaves in another place. But he promised in the same breath to deliver them. Hear it from Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain. I love it when God says, know for certain. It's almost like, listen, you better mark this one down. This is more sure than the breath you took yesterday. When God says he's going to do it, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that's not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Right? So God tells Abram, I'm going to let these people that come after you, they're going to go to another place, and they're going to be servants there, and they're going to be afflicted. But when they leave, they're going to be filthy rich. And guess what? Down to the finest little detail, God did exactly what he said. You remember Exodus, when the people leave. Let me read it to you. Exodus chapter 12. This begins in verse 33 through 36. The Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste. Why? Because the 10th plague had just happened. God had sent the 10 plagues on the Egyptians. The last one, the Passover, the death of the firstborn son. And so God sends the death angel through there, and it kills the death of the firstborn son of all the Egyptians. And those who did not have the blood over their door, they also lost their firstborn son. And so the people in Egypt are so eager to get rid of the Israelites that it says they dealt with them in haste. Then it goes on, for they said, we shall all be dead. They said, we're next. If this one doesn't do it, then we're next. What does it say? The people of Israel have also done as Moses told them. For they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Down to the finest detail, down to the finest little detail, God is faithful to his promises. He tells Abram, they're going to go, they're going to be slaves, they're going to be there for 400 years, but they're going to leave with abundant possessions. All they had to do was knock and ask and say, hey, can we have some gold? And they gave it to him. Right? God is faithful to his promises. Jesus promised his followers that he would send the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 8, Jesus tells them again, he's giving them the Spirit. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And guess what? Just as Jesus said he was going to do, he did. He did. Acts chapter 2, all you have to do is flip over the page. In verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, he continues to be faithful to this promise. Because if you're here this morning and your faith is in Jesus, then you have the Spirit of God living within inside of you. Jesus is faithful to his promises. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. What? Who has been given to us. Again, God is faithful. Our God is faithful to his promises. Hear how he's described in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. How long? To 1,000 generations. Brothers and sisters, our God is faithful to his promises. He is faithful to his promises. We see it all throughout Scripture that God is faithful. When he says something, he does it. And so we can also know that when Jesus says, which we celebrate here in just a moment, when Jesus says that he's not going to eat this meal until he eats it with us, he's faithful. It's a promise that we've not yet seen the full fulfillment to, but we will. And so just as God was faithful to his promise to the serpent, and he fulfilled it in sending Christ, just as God was faithful in his promise to Abram, and he fulfilled it in bringing out the Israelites, just as Jesus is faithful in promising the Spirit, and he's done it in pouring the Spirit into our hearts, so we can trust that he will be faithful in his promise to come and take us and call us home. We can trust him. We also know this: God is faithful to his promises, and he has promised to take care of his people. So we can say this: he's faithful to his people. He's faithful to his people. His faithfulness to his children is not based on the faithfulness of his children. Right? God's faithfulness to you and I is not based on our faithfulness. Rather, it's based on his own faithfulness, his own unchanging character. What does God say to the Israelites? I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O Jacob, are not consumed. Because God doesn't change, because God is always faithful, he will always continue to be faithful. He's faithful to his children. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? For he cannot deny himself. Our God is faithful. David says in Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. He always will be faithful to his children. We can know that God's faithfulness is beyond what we could ever imagine. That's why I love Psalm 105. It says that it endures to all generations. It endures to all generations. What about Psalm 36, 5? Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. I know it was a foggy morning this morning, but how many of you could reach up and touch the highest cloud? Never in a million years could you dream of doing that. God's faithfulness goes beyond that. Right? So what do we have to worry about? We can trust in the faithfulness of God. And so here's what I want to do this morning that's a little bit different. I told you we're doing something a little different this morning. The word preach practically means to proclaim. And so this morning we're going to do a little bit of proclamation of the faithfulness of God. What I did is I want to do a Joshua 4 moment here. Joshua 4 is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I call it the Red Sea replay. You remember it well. The Israelites, they've coming out of the wilderness. They're getting ready to go over into the promised land. They're getting ready to take down Jericho without having to raise an arm except in praise to their God. And so right before they go over there, though, they walk across the Red Sea in Joshua 3. And in Joshua 4, we catch that moment when they all finally get across. And listen to what happens. They build these monuments there. They build these monuments. They build one on one side of the Jordan and one right in the middle of the river. And hear why they did it. Joshua chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Joshua tells the people, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Let me ask you this. How can you ask a question about something you've never seen? This means you're taking them back to the monuments. So we're going to build some monuments this morning that we can go back to. And ask the question, what does this mean? It means that our God is faithful. Listen to what he says. When their children ask in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So what I want to do now is I want to build some monuments. I want to build some monuments here so that we will know that the Lord is mighty, that we will fear his name forever, and that we will remind ourselves of his faithfulness. All right? So what I did this past week is I've been in contact with a lot of our missionaries. Some of them actually sent stuff to us before I even had to contact them. And some of them I just shot an email to and I said, hey, we're going to be talking about the faithfulness of God in our worship service this Sunday. Can you tell us how you've seen the faithfulness of God in your ministry or in your life this past year? I'd like to read to you some of the things that I got back from them. The first one comes from a mission that we support in Ukraine. It's really neat. If you were here a few months ago, you got the chance to meet Nick and Maya. But I want to share to you, this comes from their most recent letter. They based it here, and they did something different. They didn't just share what was going on in Ukraine. They shared what was going on in their lives and seeing God's faithfulness throughout the life of the ministry. They said, all my life you've been faithful. We're excited to report that some of our churches are looking to purchase their own buildings. Holy cow. In a place where we never thought that that would happen, there are churches that are now looking to buy their own buildings. Both, and now I'm going to butcher these names because I don't know how to say them. Both Kharkov and Simferopol, there we go, are in process right now, and the IP board is encouraging your participation by offering to match any gifts up to $50,000 to other churches to purchase property. When we started, we had no idea how to fund the ministry. It seemed impossible. There was almost no evangelical community. God is faithful. Can you say that? God is better. Amen. As he expanded the ministry, he brought more financial supporters on board, which points to many of you reading this letter. Thank you for your faithfulness. Many of you whose faithful support spans over 25 years. I got another letter from Reach Out Crisis Pregnancy Center. This was really neat. Our church has faithfully supported this local ministry for many years. I wanted to share with you the part of this letter here. It says this: this letter is first and foremost to say thank you. We could not minister to so many without the amazing support you give us. Your donations are making a difference every day in someone's life. Now listen to this. We've had the opportunity to welcome 14 babies into the world through Reach Out in 2021. Tell me our God's not faithful. Look at that. It continues. We're meeting emergency needs almost daily and furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ in our community, right here. Our greatest victories have come with the opportunity to help women decide to carry their babies to full term and come alongside them by meeting their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters just this past week made an announcement. So, I mean, this is just mind-blowing cool, right? 2020, what happened last year? COVID. What ruined everything last year? COVID. What shut down businesses last year? What shut down summer camps last year? Not Snowbird. Across North Carolina, most every camp in the state, across the country, most every camp shut down. They went out, they found a building in town that was massive, that would enable them to be able to comply with the regulations. And they did that. They got this building. At the end of the summer, they bought the building, right? They bought the building. In the summer of 2020, Snowbird's ministry was bigger than it had ever been. In the summer of 2021, they averaged more campers every week than they've ever had before. When most summer camps are struggling now to even get back to full operation, Snowbird is busting at the seams and they're having to turn people away. Just last week, Brody Holloway reported that they have been praying over a tract of land that is adjacent to their main campus, and they were able to buy that. 1 year to the day that they closed on the building that they got in town, they were able to buy 37 acres of land, doubling the footprint. And so they're going to be able to build spaces so they don't have to turn away people every year. You tell me that our God's not faithful. How do you explain that? When churches all across the country, when camps all across the country are shutting down, this one is busting at the seams and they're growing. God is faithful. I sent a message to Jerry and Susan Heyman. There's missionaries that we support in Slovakia. They sent me back two things. One is an example of God's faithfulness in their ministry. Susan wrote, "God faithfully gives opportunities to minister, sometimes in ways we haven't planned. For the past 5 years, I've had the joy of leading a weekly small group for young women who stay home with their children. Since we were meeting in one of the women's homes, there were lots of distractions with children running in and out, diapers needing changing, and babies demanding attention. Even with the interruptions, we had good discussions as I tried to help these women see how God's word applies to them in this season of life. I would often tell Jerry that I thought of these couple of hours as my most profitable time in ministry each week. Last March, when COVID restrictions started, I was disappointed when we couldn't meet for several months. Finally, in June, we started meeting outside while the kids played. In October, when our second COVID wave hit and we could no longer meet together, the women asked if we could meet on Zoom. I was not excited about this possibility, but thought it would be better than nothing. We met on Zoom throughout last fall and winter, since gatherings weren't allowed. Presently, we're in our third COVID wave and are back to the online meetings. Of course, there are disadvantages to not meeting in person, but one definite blessing of meeting online is that two women who used to be a part of the group but now live in other cities are able to join in. One of these women is a new believer and is now a single mom. Her husband left her shortly after she was diagnosed with MS. She doesn't have a church where she lives now and says these meetings really encourage her. Just last week, we finished up an almost 2-year study of the attributes of God. I bet you they talked about the faithfulness of God. We focused on how each attribute should change the way we live. During our lesson, I told the women that I can't think of anything better we could have studied during this time of pandemic. They all agreed these lessons have helped them keep their eyes on our sovereign God instead of all the uncertainties of the world we live in. Y'all, God's faithful. I got another message from Jerry on an example of God's faithfulness in their personal lives. Listen to this. Sometimes God faithfully provides for a need before we even know it's a need. In our 20-plus years here in Slovakia, we've never had the national health insurance for reasons too complicated to explain here. Our health insurance is through our mission agency and covers us when in the U.S. or overseas. We typically pay up front for medical care and then file it with our insurance. The problem this causes is that many doctors here in our small town don't want to see us because it means more paperwork for them. We don't fit into the typical insurance box. The doctor we see on a regular basis is in Bratislava, an hour and a half away. Earlier this year, it unexpectedly came to my attention that because I had turned 65 on my birthday and paid into the social tax system, I was eligible for state health insurance, similar to Medicare. When I got my insurance card, I didn't really intend to use it, but the thought did cross my mind and that maybe God knew I would need it. One evening last month, after some exercise on my bicycle, I noticed that one leg was swollen from the knee down. My first thought was the possibility of a blood clot. I called our daughter in Bratislava and described what was happening. He said I needed to go that night to a local emergency room to get checked. An ultrasound confirmed blood clots, so I was admitted and spent the next week in the hospital. I would have gotten the necessary medical care regardless of insurance status, but having that card made the whole process in the ER and the week in the hospital so much less complicated. God is faithful. Here a little closer to home, you all remember Yoshua and Shadi Don that came here a few weeks ago. You all know that he is now, we prayed for him, and many of you were praying over the next few days. He's now gotten his permission to stay here for another year, to where he can get training in a church, to where he can be more prepared to go back to Hungary and bring the gospel there to people who are hurting and in need of it. God answers our prayers. He is faithful. Another example, this past year, I don't know if you're aware of it, but our youth over the last year and a half has had exponential growth. If you drive by the parking lot on Wednesday nights, my goodness, they're busting at the seams, right? Earlier in the year, back right before the start of the summer, Pastor Kyle asked the deacons, he said, can you guys pray that God would send a couple of people who some new blood in here who can spend some time getting to build relationships with these students and encourage them and support them and help disciple these kids? We started praying about that. At the end of the summer in August, we had a couple that joined the church here, and now they've been faithfully serving with Kyle and Madison and being there. They're driving 45 minutes to come up here on Sundays and Wednesdays just to be able to pour into these kids. God is faithful. He meets our needs. Earlier this year in January, we started a twice monthly prayer meeting, 2-4-6. We have met more than twice a month throughout this past year. We've met every second and fourth Wednesday of the month, except for July, where I think we did like second and third because VBS was there at the last, right? By the grace of God, as long as we have breath in our lungs, we'll continue to do that. But God is faithful. He meets our needs. He's answering prayers. Each week we get to hear reports of things that God is doing through our praying together. Another one is this. Some of you in this room today have endured really hard sickness this past year. Some of you, we didn't know that you would be here today. We prayed, and you're sitting here today. Our God is faithful. We take it to the church level here. At a time in our country, because of all the effects of COVID and all kinds of other stuff, and then the rise of different worldviews that are battling against us, right? 1 in 5 churches in America are shutting down right now. We're growing. God is faithful. At a time when I've talked to many pastors and they're saying, we don't know how we're going to be able to pay our bills at the end of the next couple months. We don't know what's going to happen. If you were at our annual members meeting, you heard that we're looking to expand our ministry because God's blessed us financially. Now, how do you explain this outside of the fact that God is faithful? Last week at our Christmas service, we did something a little bit different. Last week, we had the biggest Sunday that we've had since COVID started. More people were here than have been here all throughout. Now, I know that this morning we're few. Many people are still gathered with their families. They're out of town and whatnot. But God is faithful. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Time would not allow for us to go on and detail all of the ways that we have seen God's faithfulness just in our little congregation here on Colin Road. Believers, this is meant for us to remind ourselves that God is faithful. To that end, I did something different this past week. We had a little bit of extra room in the bulletin, so if you have it, there's a sheet of paper here on the back. It says, what's one thing that has shown you the faithfulness of God this past year? My challenge to you as you leave today is this. Before you leave, You can stay for a few minutes after the service. Write that down. Build the monument. Stick it in your Bible. And in a month's time, pull it out and read that so you can remind yourself, God is faithful. And you know what? He'll continue to be faithful. We don't know what's going to happen in the next year, but we do know this, that God will continue to be faithful through the good and through the bad. Our God is faithful. He has met all of our needs and then some. So let me ask you a question. What do we do with a faithful God like this? Again, time would not allow for us to give every response that we should have, but I will give you two. Number one, we hold fast. We hold fast. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." So believers, remind yourselves each and every day that our God is faithful, that he cares for you, that he has your best at heart. When you face difficulties, when your faith struggles, remind yourselves of the faithfulness of our God. Hold fast to your confession. Why? Because he who called us is faithful. We can endure because we know that the one who called us is faithful. And number two, the second response is we go back to Psalm 100. Go back to Psalm 100 and we see there again, we worship. Verse 1, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who made us and we are his." We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to his name. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations." We worship our God, not only on Sundays, but with each breath that we have, because our God is faithful. Turner's Chapel, we serve a faithful God. And so we can move into the next year with confidence, with peace in our hearts, because we know that he will continue to be faithful as he has always been. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's hard to try to describe one who forms the definition of faithfulness. But Father, I pray this morning that we have stirred hearts by being reminded of the fact that you are faithful to your promises and you are faithful to your people. Lord, I ask that as we wrap up this year, that we would think deeply on the fact that you have remained faithful through all the uncertainties, through all of the trials and tribulations, through all the pain, Lord, and through all the pleasures. Lord, you have been faithful, and we can count on the fact that you will continue to be just that, faithful. Father, I pray that if there be any in this room, Lord, who do not know you, Lord, as the faithful and loving Father, Lord, that you are, I pray that you would open their eyes to the beauty of Christ and that they too would receive the Holy Spirit by looking on him and putting their faith in his finished work. Father, I ask that you would remind us, take us back to that monument, Lord, of your faithfulness, that we would mark those moments off, that we would reflect on these things and we would say, our God is faithful, and therefore we will hold fast and we will worship him. We love you. We thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.